team, O audience of the age. Yeah, so Oya, as you know, is the feminine version of Yornis the trickster. And she hurls her horsetail whip and summons the winds of change, which also summons the lightning to strike the circle of habit and turn it into a spiral. Mm-hmm. Anybody bored with themselves would like the circle and turn it into a spiral. That's right. Yeah. We are so done. But again, we can do nothing by ourselves, only by inviting it in. It's a collaborative deal. Mm-hmm. So we're inviting that in, going, and we even see the lightning striking the circle of habit in our own personal lives and the collective lives, boom, into spiral, into the memosphere, the collective atmosphere, which is the realm of trickster influence. Yes, wait a minute. There we go.
The realm of trickster influence. There we go.
Okay, that's good. So, as you know, we have Muti, which means power and medicine. It is from Stella Coyote's hair, and also tobacco and Syrian tobacco and all of that. We say, oh, spirit of lightning striking the circle of habit and turning it into a spiral that we may waft it out into the memosphere. Open the path for each one of us that our dedicated hearts may magnetize opportunity, and we have the perspicacity and dedication to take those opportunities and make them real.
Perspicacity!
We're all a work of art in progress, because I used to go, grant me the opportunities, you know, to whatever it is, be a maximum good. And the opportunities would come, and I go, no, I need to actually fulfill those, right? That part. Oh, languid Libra, right? No, we want to do that. Everything's a wake-up call. When we look out into the world going, well, that's not being done well, and the backstage gods go, we'll go do it better. And it's like, okay, it is rousing. So the mythic news, by tossing lightning at the closed loop of the story circle, Coyote creates a liberating spiral for all beings. I mean, everything we do and visualize this night and onward, you know, is good for ourselves and for all beings. And the Voice of the Small and the Infinite is a really great book by Joanne Locke about healing the human-insect relationship. And it's like, oh, that's a big one. That's a really big one. Collaborative. Maybe the ants come in now.
I was telling Caroline in Costa Rica.
Whoops, wait, you better come on up and tell the...
Yes,
come on up and tell the ant story. There you go. All right. It's a good one.
Caroline came surprisingly down to Costa Rica, and I was telling her this story about... How many of you know the writer Italo Calvino?
Yeah.
Okay, so surrealist writer who, there's a story about the ants that come through the walls and sort of terrorize the family a little bit. Well, one evening, I'm in my house, and I went out like a good composter and was peeing outside. And I walk back in the house and hear this clicking noise, click, 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 through the house. I'm like, I see cockroaches just running really fast and spiders running, and I'm like, whoa. And then I look up, and along the door wells are thousands of ants going on. And I'm just like, oh my God. They're like gonna get in my bed, and I'm freaking out. I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Well, luckily, my neighbor had expressed to me, I didn't know it was gonna happen to me, but there are ants called the cleaners. And that they said, no, they're really, really cool. They'll only come into your house, and you know, they'll clean your entire house, everything, and they'll be out in 2 hours. So just step back and let them do it. And literally, there's no cockroach, no ant, no cricket, nothing left. And they're so cool, they don't bother you. They just, you know, you get out of their way, because anything in their way, they will eat. So, you know, so I'm standing on a chair, literally. But yeah, so here to the ant kingdom.
Yay!
Much
better than a can of Raid, right? Exactly. It's like, wait for it, you know, in wonderful Terry Pratchett's novels, this splendid young witch named Tiffany Aiken, and in the last novel, which is so wonderful, The Crown of the Shepherd's Crown. But she's like, there's first thoughts, and then there's second thoughts. And second thoughts are really good to consult. First thoughts are often possessed by mob mind, you know, or you can't raid, or danger. Second thoughts are the custom, and also animism. As I never tire of saying so far, you know, the Thai saying, because we were never colonized, we never lost our animism. You know, which is not only reverence for all of life as though it were alive, but a Venusian collaborative deal. You know, I give you this, you give me that, which is very coyote, very trickster. You know, and so waiting for the ants going, and what do you have in mind? Oh, you're going to clean out all the giant cockroaches. Thank you, I'll get out of your way. Or you know, what deal can we work out? So I was noticing that Vladimir Putin is born a few days before me. And I thought, what are you doing with my chart? And then I go, all right, it's sort of like in family therapy, where there's a certain amount of, you know, quality or intelligence that's kind of, you know, cast out to a family, and if one person hoovers it all, you know, then, you know. So it's the dangerous advice I give to worried parents whose kids are acting up, and I go, well, you need to be wilder then, right? Because you're leaving all the wildness to this kid. You get wilder, they'll get more stable. So in the memosphere, I'm going, all right, Putin, you Libra, how about I go to the gym more and you stay up late watching Law and Order reruns and sleep in? We're going to do a kind of negotiated trade, you know. But you know, adopt a tyrant metaphorically and work out a deal. Going, I'll do more of this and you do that, and hand it on. So it's experimental whimsy again. Uranus is trickster's evolutionary ingenuity, which is about experiment, try stuff. You know, is the situation going so well, we just shouldn't afford to experiment at all? And as I said to a Homeland Security person next to me on the plane, the situation's so dire, we can't afford the luxury of realism. And she said, well, you have no idea how true that is. But we are at a great opportunity where all that we love and all those teachings and the medicine bundles we've been carrying for 12 years, 24 years, Jupiter cycles, you know, now want to come into the memosphere with there's surprising receptivity. You know, I was hanging out also with whistleblowers because that's my job in Washington on your behalf. You know, these former, you know, 40 years in the NSA. And I'm gonna herd them like cats into the radio show because they're up for it. But they were also it'll be good. And also when I was having dinner with them and James Bamford, great sort of serious writer on the NSA, and I'm thrilled in my solar return this year, which is when the sun exactly returns to where it was when you were born. So I go, my solar return moon is 13 Scorpio, and I know that really well because it's like, oh, that's Edward Snowden's moon. Oh, that's so great. And there are images for each degree of the zodiac. So first think Edward Snowden. So the image for his moon is telephone linemen at work installing links to other realities. It's so perfect. You know, and I told the NSA guys and James Bamford that, and they're pretty straight. You know, I said, guess what, the Sabian symbol for Edward Snowden, and they were like, oh, interesting. I just got back from seeing it. You know, and then, you know, again, the yes men we want to bring into play, because the yes men, great cultural hijinks people, they're really good at mimicking in a positive way, in a liberating way. All satire is intrinsically liberating. That's its standard. So they just did a great thing, you know, write it up, look like it's the New York Times thing, you know, Obama, you know, absolves, you know, Edward Snowden, proclaims him hero, you know, and, you know. So we want to put things also on the memospheric table again to animate, because part of why it's so great to gather here now is that we are being proffered such a generous abundance of metaphors to animate. It would be churlish to not play, you know. And again, it's the idea that, you know, Venus magnetizes. We invite in power with the power of Muti and all, and then we animate it. We magnetize, invite in, and then animate it. So animating the desirable, you know, on Obama's way out, you know, pardoning Leonard Peltier, you know.
That's right.
We want to put it on there. And again, we're composting all snark, going, oh, well, he won't do that because it's like, it's time for us all to quit bespelling ourselves with it. Do you remember, especially the straight people in politics, when John Kerry, oh God, the minute he was nominated, I fell to my knees going, oh, I know it's not going to be bad, but we'll work with it. But he would go out on the stoop and go, I want you all to imagine that I've lost. You know, and how sad you feel. I'm like, what a metaphysical tyro dingbat, for God's sake. All right. But anyway, so hanging out with the whistleblowers, and they're in the NSA for 40 years until they hit we can't do this anymore, which is available increasingly to be invited in everywhere. And they also told really interesting stories. Again, we're weaving complexity of stories. They were, one of them gave a talk I was at about, you know, leading up to 9/11, okay, there's many, many conflicting stories, but they say absolutely, you know, almost everyone in power should be charged with war crimes. They had a different different weaving of the thing, because this one guy who was major at the NSA in charge of cryptology, and he said what was going on was, you know, the increasing before 9/11 of spying, NSA spying, was largely due to corporate lobbying, because a lot of that information is going to corporations. So you go, oh, and he goes, it was the corporate lobbying that kind of completely messed up the intelligence, that allowed them to be complicitous with, you know, and then all kinds of other things that we go through and we go. But so the one NSA guy on one side said, you know, I look pretty straight, but my mother was an astrologer, so I'm not as straight as I look. Okay, all right, we can smuggle these things into out there. And then the whistleblower guy, you know, head of cryptology, interesting, said, but you know, I'm really into the kind of the way to influence reality through the ninth and tenth dimensions. And I go, oh, you know, lads, I think you might have found the right show where all of you is welcome. The metaphysics of whistleblowing. We go, oh, that was very good. So here we are. You know, again, metaphors are abounding, you know, and cooperators are standing by and eager to be invited. So Jornus is rising right now, trickster ingenuity, no category about success, fail, just try things. Other parts of our psyche and the world do have different categories. But its image right now is a magic carpet hovering over drab city streets. So we're all going to set forth on a magic carpet. Yours can be customized, you know? And what do you want to have with you on the carpet? Why, look, there's, you know, coyotes and things and books of knowledge and all of that. And it's all part of the Scheherazadean frame story. I do love, there's the living quality of stories. So, you know, many of you probably know the 1001 Nights Scheherazade frame story. Do we know that? Anybody not know the Scheherazade, who Scheherazade is? No, and nobody's copying to it. Okay. So it takes myriad forms, because to tell stories afresh is to bring them alive. You know, the stories that come to each one of us, to tell them afresh, you know, with honoring and with an honoring of their history and how they came to us, is to bring them alive in a new way. So I love my trustworthy friend who lived in Syria for so long, Deborah Felmuth, said, oh, I really recommend Salman Rushdie's novel, 2 years, 8 months, and 28 nights, which is 1001 nights. And I bought it for myself for my birthday, which was yesterday. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I wasn't fishing for that. It's my birthday. But it was kind of fun, because I open it up, and right on the frontispiece it says, for Caroline. I go, oh, what? it's not, you know.
But still,
it'll do. And then, I go, thank you, Salman. That's really great. And then there's this great frontispiece. It's a Goya painting of a man surrounded by demons, El sueño de la razón I'm going to do this wrong again, monstruos. The sleep of reason brings forth monsters. And it's in the Prado. The full etching reads, fantasy abandoned by reason produces impossible monsters united with her. Oh, no. Impossible monsters. United with her, she is the mother of the arts and the origin of their marvels. Ooh. And this is very before us right now. Ooh. You know, again, democracy within and without. So it's not like, oh, the heart's so much better than the brain. The brain goes, hey, I'm part of the democracy too. We like both. As rascal James Hillman was like, everybody wants to get in touch with their feeling. I want to get in touch with my thinking. I go, oh, you Aries bad boy. But then even just the front to this book, which I think is going to be a really good ride, he says, George Serpsi's quotes, one is not a believer in fairy tales. There is no theology, no body of dogma, no ritual, no institution, no expectation for a form of behavior. They are about the unexpectedness and mutability of the world. Oh, ooh. Fairy tales again, metaphoric agility, you know, shape-shifting, the unexpectedness and mutability of the world. It's a very mutable time, which is why, again, it's so good for us to gather. We say the protoplasm of reality is especially receptive to imaginative imprint. It's like, oh. And then Italo Calvino, instead of making myself write the book I ought to write, the novel that was expected of me. I conjured up the book I myself would have liked to read, the sort by an unknown writer from another age in another country, discovered in an attic.
Whoa.
That's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
In the 1001 Nights, she saw the dawn approach and fell silent discreetly. Yeah, and Scheherazade perceived the dawn of day and ceased to say her timeless say. So the model, again, of Scheherazade, and Scheherazade is the earth. You know, for me, it goes back to a wonderful Turkish novelist, Güneli Gün, that I hosted so long ago, a wonderful novel, On the Road to Baghdad, Scheherazade, a major character. In the last moments of the show, she said, you know, the predominant deity in the Middle East, before Islam, was She-Wolf. And she said, throughout the Middle East was an azure blue flag emblazoned with an alpha female wolf's head on it. Like, where's she? You know, and when I went to Syria, people were like, yeah, we remember in a fairy tale, in a folk thing, in a, yeah, something. Well, part of the dynamic of now is all the fairy tales and myths, you know, and the, you know, and the whistleblower's mother, astrologer, and the whatever. And also, I have a friend who was Bernie Sanders' girlfriend's astrologer, so we actually have his birth time. So, oh, it's one step removed. There you go, Bernie, okay, he's riding it. So yeah, everything wants to kind of pour forth. And you know, it's like Kierkegaard says, presume love in the other. And it's also presume metaphysical openness in the other. Just, you know, you try a little bit and see how it goes. And you go, oh, here's a little bit. Well, that went well. Here's a little bit. Well, then, it's true, I do have this fantastic dragon head. I feel like there's a living being on my head. It's got dragon eyes. So it's not really me saying it, it's Ursula Gwynn saying it about this being that we're invoking through our finery. She says, those who do not listen to dragons are doomed to live out the nightmares of politicians. Very fun. So remember, you know, Scheherazade as the earth, the earth herself. So I view She-Wolf, you know, moving into becoming Scheherazade. You know, beneath the rippling surface of human form is all the flora and fauna, all the animals and plants and creatures rippling under her guise of humanness. Because indeed, what happens at the end of the 1001 Nights, after which, you know, Shahryar, the sociopathic dingbat, skull and bones, initiated Yale attending king, who has been murdering everything. You know, he goes, 1001 Nights, you have expanded, you know, me. But you've allowed my heart to bloom again. You are my savior. And because Scheherazade means city redeemer, and her sister Dunyazade means world redeemer. And in the Arabian Nights gathered, like 26 volumes before they get edited, most of it is women redeemers, you know. Again, we like equal. I love my friend Robinette Kennedy saying, what if the idea of matriarchy is a patriarchal concept? I do love that, you know, as opposed to actual equality, which when we investigate places like Malta, we go, goddess culture, and she, who's an archaeologist, says, no, equal culture, it looks like goddess to us because we're so whacked out. You know, and we go, all right, we entertain these things, and we like to be dangerous in a good way to previously held positions and opinions and things just for the fun of it. So at the end of the 1001 Nights, when Shahryar says, let's get truly married, not like I'm going to kill you in the morning, and Scheherazade wears a gown embroidered with all of the animals and plants of the earth, you know, all the flora and fauna. So once again, as in the Grail legend and the tale of Dame Ragnall, the king must wed the earth, again, to bring it back into wholeness. So Scheherazade is the earth, again, the storytelling, you know, who reminds us, if we just approach everything, really, the world and everything in it, with informed, reverent curiosity, we'd all be back in the chorus of creation. We'd all be back in the choreography of creation, once again. So that's part of the medicine available to us, going, we would like informed, reverent curiosity as one of our primary ways of relating to everything, you know, and also with the ants going, and what do you have in mind, and can we work out a deal? And I'm not familiar with the local customs, but oh, I see, you got on a chair, okay, very good, okay. So yes, all of that, and you know, and I so love Trickster increasingly. Again, some people kind of new to the way I pitch things go, well, Trickster, that's a bad thing. And I go, no, it's a colonial idea. Mm. But we're going to get into the difference between the con man, the con, and the trickster. The latter liberates us from the former, which we'll play with. So Uranus, again, trickster, rising now. And remember that it is appearing in the sky to move backwards, until it stations, appears to stand still to those of us on Earth on Christmas Day, which is very fabulous, like use everything. Like tonight, right this moment, is Muharram. It's Arabic New Year, right now. It's when the little crescent, the Scorpio crescent of the moon appears right after sunset too. And it is said that the tradition of honoring Muharram is no one will fight, no one will harm, no one will kill. We go, all right, against all odds, we want to waft this into the memosphere as well. So with Uranus, trickster, having trined Venus as she emerged from the underworld, this August-September time period, going, the Venusian trickster within all of us, and then goes backwards, inward, 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 stations on Christmas Day, and goes forward, outward. So we go, by Jiminy, Christmas might really be something this year. It's the birth of the Venusian trickster redeemer within all our hearts, bounding onto the world stage. So there's many ways to animate and align with this. And again, she's hurling lightning bolts to turn all the circles into spirals. Liberate everybody, liberate everything. Because the nature of the Venusian, heroine within everybody, regardless of temporary age, race, and gender assignment, is to liberate everything. Not to count on it, but you never know. I like referencing the movie Lives of Others, which is about how the sociopathic heart can bloom again. You don't know, maybe not everybody, but you don't know who yes or who no. You try everything. But in an offering way, going, here's a key. No, apparently not. Woof, woof, want to play? No. Woof, woof, want to play? Yes, okay. We're moving our, it's very mutable. It's moving our emotional default setting. But the spiciness also, trickster loves authenticity, where our inner self and outer self match, or were anything. But it feeds on the fuel of, that lives in the crevice of discrepancy. So that rather than go get harumphy about it, one goes, ooh, fuel. Trickster loves the fuel that is in the crevice of discrepancy. How things are, how they should be, what people say they are, what they really are, what people, whatever. And it susses it out. And that part of all of us, has an authentico, meter. It can tell, it can read. It's like all the coyotes and the rave, they can read discrepancy. And also just, if you're ever approached by an emissary coyote, they like, hello, informed reverent curiosity. What do you, I live with one of your people. How are you doing? Okay. They like that. If you go, ee, I am reminded by all these small touching things because I have lived with a coyote longer than I've lived with a human. We don't know what it means. But everything, here's the little leather hoop, right? On this trip, I go, oh, she got it. She got it. She chewed it in half. She was waiting for a couple of years for me to put it down, and she was like, I've been waiting for that for a couple of years. I go, you clever little thing. Everything's coyote eyes. She loves to remove handles, and it's part of her job. But she's willing to negotiate about some things. So we do love that, and we love the attitude as well. Things that from nature, let all natural facts be inspirational guidelines, and as well as practicalities, as well as metaphors. One of the great, in the Arabian Nights, which is a great production produced by Hallmark, don't let that stop you, John Leguizano is the genie, and Alan Bates is the storyteller, and they really do a great job. And for all of us, there's many ways to tell the story. The way they tell it in that version, which is fabulous, is that Scheherazade almost blows it the first night. She almost gets killed. She can't quite hold the king's attention, and she just barely escapes with her life that night. So she goes to speak to Alan Bates, the storyteller in the marketplace, and he says, when my audience doesn't like my story, they leave. When your audience doesn't like your story, you die. And so he gives her, he goes, you gotta capture them. First he gives her the training. But what they do at the end, which is a great telling, is that when Shahryar's heart blooms again and they get truly married and he weds the earth, and humans are willing to cooperate with nature, but there is great danger. There is great kind of Donald Trump things on the horizon, and he uses some literal thing from every story she's told him to save the world. You know, as we are invited to do, from all of our wanderings and meanderings, you know, they want to kind of come into kaleidoscopic clarity, that we've gathered, each one of us, a kind of unique medicine bundle. So something I carry from Stella, and Stella approves this message, that coyotes will watch humans laying traps, follow along behind them and go, and then when the humans move on, the coyotes have learned to set the trap with a stick, right? And then they pee all over it. And they go, well, that is a very guy like that. I think that's a good practice. You can, if it appeals to you, you can put it in your magic backpack and go, remember to follow the trapper, you know, set the trap so it doesn't harm oneself or others, and then pee all over it, just to let you know. So Lewis Hyde has, you know, written well about Trickster. He says, Trickster, coyote is very lucky if enough con men show up to school him or her. So we go, we are very lucky. You know, and then he does a great thing about, you know, predator-prey dynamic on this planet, which is one of the great engines of evolution. And he says, you know, 60,000 years ago, you know, predator, much smarter than prey, just by brain size, which is, and wrinkles, really important in the brain, folds. And then we move forward 30,000 years, and everybody's smarter. Predator's still smarter, but everybody's smarter, and then we move forward. And the model is, but what's missing, that is one true story, what's missing is what accounts for altruism and compassion, and that's where we'll bring, you know, kind of Neptune into play. But Lewis Hyde says, Trickster myth derives creative intelligence from appetite. It begins with a being whose main concern is getting fed, and it ends with the same being grown mentally swift, adept at creating and unmasking deceit, proficient at hiding his tracks, and it's seeing through the devices used by others to hide theirs. Trickster starts out hungry, but before long, she is master of the kind of creative deception that, according to a long tradition, is a prerequisite to art. Yeah. It's like the mysterious, you know, Rumi quote, maybe he said it, you know, those who find love underneath disappointment and grief disappear into a thousand new disguises. And it's fun because it's like, we think of disguise as bad. We go, well, coyote, master of disguises, you know. Jorna says, we are big gods. We don't really care what you do. We care the manner in which you do it, that it be from freedom and choice. You know, I choose to be grumpy or you know, so it's not an automatic default setting. It's not a circle of habit. It's like a choice. So this idea, may we all be then, you know, equipped, you know, by the power of being here and inviting it in with the power to feed off of discrepancy, you know, to disrupt it. It's a lifelong interesting training, you know, a trickster wants to disrupt the authentic, but in a way that is not being snookered into polarity. I mean, to be snookered into polarity is to inadvertently serve the overlords, and we go, oh, okay, to liberate, you know, to liberate everybody, even the tyrant, even the King Shahryar, in some way. And the model is we can't, again, be even who we want to be by ourselves. It's the quality of making dedications that also invites in the invisible forces to go, in which we go, hold me to this. This is the art form of unique creativity each one of us is that I want to be, you know, each one of us ever more our unique selves. Because unique is trickster. Special is con. You know, see, to be special, kind of celebrity realm is kind of physical. And it's colonial, really. To be unique, each one of us who is unique liberates and encourages everybody else to be unique, right? And we want the unique experiment of each person. We need everyone's medicine. So we do have the con everywhere. And again, it behooves, I love the word behooves, it behooves us, with little hooves, it behooves us, as we're heading into this, to understand the dynamics, the kind of you know, in a kind of calm coyote way. I mean, coyote will definitely announce danger, but also just watch the trappers laying the trap, and then pee all over it. And I think that that's an important skill to have during the unfolding political campaign. Like we see the trap, we set the trap, we pee all over it. You know, there we go. So to understand that the magnetism of Donald Trump, you know, a monstrous animation of murderous sociopathic Ving Battery, and more. But we go, bless his heart, in the mystery play. But people drawn to that, they think they're being drawn to Trickster, right? They think they're being drawn to, like, wow, he says his mind, Wow, do you hear that? He said he'd date his daughter. Well, whatever. I mean, it's like, the man has no filter, like, at all. He's like possessed, and you go, oh my God. But it is an interesting, if we watch the currents, as strategy beings, if we know the astrological language or just read it, again, all these languages are just remedial tools for our own wise intuition. So my friend Sylvia, fellow astrologer, next generation up, we were watching the debate, and it was pretty smart, it was like, huh? It was like pretty smart, Andy Borowitz has been so great, Bernie Sanders commits egregious political mistake by treating others with civility. And CNN discovers people actually want conversation, that floors them, like, oh my God. So ideas, right, ideas, the beginning part, and that model, and see, that was Bernie's debut on a national level. Say a lot of the Trumpery, so what Sylvia was saying is, Mars was in Leo, Donald Trump is born with Mars in Leo, and Pluto, plutocracy, rising with his Leo rising, his concern about his hair mane, and everything. And when he was at his height, Mars was in Leo, just right on, he was having a Mars return, like, hair. And Mars has now journeyed into Virgo, which is much more refined. So Mars also represents the quality of what people want. And they're like, we want circus. Oh, actually, now we want discourse and dia-gnosis and real things. And so we want to see, we're, again, directing traffic and fluidity. I do love, that when somebody came up with a fear-mongering idea at the KPFA craft fair in the summer, going, what about the prediction there's going to be a terrible economic collapse and, whatever, and, in September, and we should all buy gold. And I go, well, that's, I would pee on that, but on the other hand, are we not aspiring collaborators and with the great all, the great wolf that animates the universe? Where would we like economic collapse? Yeah. And we go here, okay, over here to the polluting industries, over here perhaps to Shell in the Arctic. Let's make the price of oil collapse. Ooh, it did. Where would we like it? And everything wants to be intimately directed. Going, hello, I'm economic collapse. Where should I go? Right this way.
Follow the ants.
That's right. Clean out the house. There we go. So we want to be, fluidly playful, and again, and then, and the stopping of the drilling in the Arctic was great. One, it was like economic collapse, because Shell has abandoned, for the foreseeable future, and they don't see very far, but for the foreseeable future, the plans, they go, oil's just too cheap, and we go, yes, economic collapse, go to oil cheap. And then, and many people, the quality of the intelligence of the Arctic itself, going, but even more effective when we humans, which may be our role that we're called to, invite in collaboration. I mean, the Arctic did pretty well itself. It was you that told, David Grimes that told me about the giant iceberg that two summers ago, when Shell set up its drilling rig in clear horizon, and then the iceberg on the horizon goes, dum 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 dum, right for the drilling rig, causing them to go, ooh, skedaddle. And then the tugboat broke down, towing it, and the tugboat towing that broke down, and the Arctic going, doom. And anything that has a name, again, anything that we address, has a living, coherent intelligence. I remember friends of mine talking about being in Palenque, and I think they were eating mushrooms, but they were in one of the ruins, and they began to chant, and the jungle began to call back, and the guards got really frightened and ran away, and like when people tell you, like, I don't know, did I ever tell you about my first ayahuasca trip? And like, yes, you did. God, no. And arm off. That's the new kind of the guy in airplane who's telling people their story and they're all hanging themselves and stuff. And the version would be like, and when I went to the Amazon and drank ayahuasca. So they said, well, wait, we have a recording. I'm like, okay. And it was an amazing, they had the recording. It was an amazing thing because it was the unified voice of the jungle. It was like monkeys and jaguars and insects all going, ah, together, you know, out of all the little Virgo micro beings in one chorus, call and response, whoa. But again, you know, what you're calling up, but that was impressive. So, con man, yes, better a trickster than a martyr, better a trickster than a con. You know, we go, the con man has a bomb, the trickster is the bomb, B-A-L-M. You know, the con man is boom, the trickster is swoosh, you know, all these different qualities. But especially important, again, for discernment in a kind of calm, coyote way, as so much chicanery and shenanigans is afoot, but we, again, in alliance with, you know, there's WikiLeaks and there's WiccanLeaks, and WiccanLeaks is may anything up to no good be revealed, rendered harmless, an occasion for mirth, like you, Kevin McCarthy, going, oh, I just want to say that because of the Benghazi trials, you know, Hillary Clinton's polls dropped, ah, that's pretty good of me, right? Oh, I wasn't supposed to say that? Whoa, ooh, I just got so excited. You know, and so there's Putin, who will be, you know, sleeping in soon. Bubble baths, we see bubble baths and pedicures in Putin's future going, Chechnya, Syria, I don't know, I can't remember. You know, and maybe a giant hookah. Like a hookah in a bathtub. Yeah. You know, we see it over there, and we draw the curtains, there we go, hookah in a bathtub. Because for whatever reason, I hang out with these, or underworld figures cross my path. So some years back, these military intelligence guys, and they said, do you know the term sparkle? I said, they go, no, not that. It's a global term for terrorism, state-derived terrorism dressed up to look like others, right? And they said the most egregious example is Putin. And everybody in the global community agrees about this. And it was the bombing of the civilian apartment buildings in Moscow, which he then blamed on the Chechens. Mm. And everybody, I mean, this is like not a whack-out thing. Investigative reporters go, it was him. I mean, he did this. So we want to, you know, and as layers of complexity, I mean, again, complex and nuance and, you know, intrigue, what's going on in Turkey, what's going on in Syria, you know, is literally Byzantine. So it requires great complexity and a kind of, you know, sussing out. Turkey divided over who was to blame for the blasts that just killed people, these booms going off everywhere. And it's, you know, it might have been government to stage to look like the Kurds to do the thing. So we don't want to be certain, you know, and part of the dynamic of investigating 9/11 is that there is much, and now there's, you know, whistleblowers and NSA people and people who want to kind of come in, but we allowed the narrative to be hoodwinked by finger-wagging, righteous, certain, you know, discreditable people who were hot. The people that I interviewed who really knew a lot were quite calm in their delivery of facts, which is, you know, a really, it's one modality. It's not the only modality, but it is one, you know, and again, hyper-hot, reactive finger-wagging is actually colonial, even no matter what one seems to be saying. But they did say in this article on Turkey divided over who is to blame for the blast, complex, very complex, you know, and it was the worst terrorist attack in Turkey's history, which is happening everywhere. This boom, this uninitiated Mars hyper yang death frenzy, and it's Venus within all of us that initiates Mars again. The story, the beauty, the Scheherazade, here, come this way. But they did say. Somebody was saying, "Oh, that's silly. Oh, yeah, it doesn't help to have political parties blaming the government for the attacks. That's as absurd as saying that the Bush administration has anything to do with 9/11." Yes. Absurd as that. Anyway, so we love this this quality of creative suspicion, and then inviting in, you know, again, inviting in the trickster. You know, when anything's a kerfuffle and we don't know what to do, it's like, oh, right, invite in what does know what to do. And again, this is an experiment that often is just very deeply satisfying. It is part of that sense of synchronicity. We are the molecules which the great story speaks to itself through the agency of synchronicity. So everything pertinent and speaking to us. which is why my dedication to trickster medicine, you know, as one of many, but it is the sine qua non, because it brings all, it makes all of the others effective. This quality of play, this quality of teasing actual kind of democratic animism, teasing democracy into every fiber of our being. We go, ooh, this way. So that our manner of relating is an offering, serves democracy in play, as opposed to an imposition, serves dominance and empire and colonialism. There we go. So yeah, and again, we have our authenticity meter. Uranus is, astrology describes fear and anxiety as different, you know, and again, we can all play with these things and chew them, but fear, you kind of want to lean against, kind of for self and all beings. Anxiety is sometimes described as a Uranus thing. There's an intuitive part of us that really reads the truth. And it does take knowledge. It does take research. Because astrology and many metaphysical paths describe intuition as something quite specific. You know, when people say, I have no common sense, I must be intuitive, it's like, no. It's described as a journey of which everything is, you know, standing by, wanting to be animated, of doing actual research, putting stuff on the table, and then it's the rapid perception of pattern and potential and strategy. You see the path, you see the thing, you know what this person could be, what this project could be. It's, you know, it's a quality of genius residing within all of us that connects us to nature's genius. So, but it is research, knowledge, mind, pattern perception. And it says, you know, that part of us really reads energy and is pretty trustworthy. You know, for all the kind of Neptunian 12th house Piscean type people out there, where we say, you know, trust is a big issue. Well, it's like, well, let's reframe the question. So it's not who to trust, but what to trust. And Uranus Trickster says you can trust your intuition and, again, learn how to speak with it and negotiate with it. So it says anxiety is an inner gauge or meter that when we go away from our intuition, you know, everyone thinks I should do plan A. No. Apparently not. How about plan B? you know, or because there's about to be a plethora of opportunities for all of us, really. You know, some cons, some trickster things, some just right, but more, you know, and so to set our standards in place so that as things get busier, you know, you go, no, a complete relationship in 2 minutes, no, there we go, or yes, you know, and again, the more we speak to these parts of ourselves, the stronger they get, the more we, you know, consult our trickster, our dragon, our, however you want to imagine this wise, intuitive, resilient, plucky, defiant, disobedient, creative, compassionate part of oneself, you know, from all the different qualities of, you know, ears and things and what's on the flying carpet and all of that is really highly effective. So we do consult and again, you know, it reads discrepancy too. That's what somebody looks like. What's their essential core? Do those match? Not match, we'll trust intuition. You know, and if we think back to any time we misplaced trust, really, there was some part of us, you know, some coyote part of us hopping up and down going, no, ah, hell. You know, we knew, you know, and so there's no shame, no blame. In fairy tales, everybody blows it a couple times, you know, or more, you know, but to go back and to feel the texture of that going, you knew, didn't you? You know, and it's also like a wonderful Jungian analyst of mine I recently, you know, reconnected with, wonderful person. But sometimes, you know, when people were in conundrums or when I would be in a conundrum, she goes, Caroline, what's the end of this story? Because you already know it. I'm like, oh, foo. Like, you know, and Trickster also would say to, you know, what's the end of this story? Because you already know it. Now, some you don't know, you know, but the traps that are not in accord with one contributing, cultivating and contributing one's gift to the community in a way that is replenishing, the traps that keep us from that, those stories we do know. You know, and again, that's the circle going, let that thing go into a spiral, we're all ready for that. And it's also part of now, you know, everything into Pluto's cauldron, especially the sacred, I think Pluto's cauldron, it is part of my, you know, I carry with me too, that almost everything sacred really deserves to be an episode of South Park. So I think South Park should do an episode on Open Secret.
Yeah.
I think South Park on festivals, Burning Man, symbiosis. South Park certainly on Pacifica, although it'd be a very short show. So South Park does buy an ear, so yeah. But again, those are little short things on the periphery of a larger thing. But just to keep it healthy, you know, Yorna's satire, because it was Quiznos sandwich shop, so a little suspect, but they did a really pretty good satire of Burning Man that was pretty great. You know, your name for the festival is, I can't quite do it, but it was really good. But in the comments section, people were like, oh, I don't like that, because Burning Man's really good and it's dedicated, and it's like, uh-oh, Ernest is the con of sincere earnestness. And I just responded and said, no, if you love it, then you should love satiring it, because Trickster keeps it honest. You know, and everything's got shadow. You know, and we know from the development of groups and spiritual groups is they start off with a guiding vision, and that's really great. And then sometimes the guiding vision, you know, and the reality, sometimes they're in accord, but sometimes they begin to separate, and then everybody's like, no, it's we're all, and then it gets very dramatic. You know, and so again, satire keeps it healthy, and there's many forms of that. I mean, some of it can certainly be fierce. I love Jonathan Swift's epitaph. You know, he great 18th century satirist, really brilliant. The S-men are kind of carrying it on. But on his epitaph, on his gravestone, it says, "Here lies Jonathan Swift, where the fierce winds of savage indignation no longer lacerate his breast." You know? Yeah. It's a little over the top, but it's great. You know, it's like, you know, two drops, not too much, but two drops of that, you know. And as great ally Kathy says when I'm getting feisty, she goes, well, I go, I could use some of, you know, two drops of that medicine. She goes, only in a Venus copper-shaped vessel. I'm like, oh, you're right, exactly. All right, put it in a Venus, they're really brilliant, exactly. We want just that. So everything into the cauldron, all teachings, all everything, because all cultures grow their own metaphysic and grow their own astrology, their earth, sky story. You know, if you're born into a highly predictive feudal society, your astrology, your metaphysic is highly predictive, fate oriented. But we're at a different kind of experiment. Although everything is welcome, there are things, you know, and our great ally Rob is a great Jyotish practitioner. Beautiful, all languages beautiful and complex and have their value. But we want to become unpredictable, and unpredictability is one of our skill set. You know, to do the unpredictable thing liberates everybody. You know, it's my, again, dangerous advice I like to give families of, you know, my dentist client who was raising hooligan teenage sons, and he'd come back every night and the house was trashed and he'd fly into a rage and they'd do that, you know. And I said, well, you can't fake it, right? But you know, try doing something else, you know, out of pattern. And he said, he reported back and goes, that was really interesting. And he said, I came back, the house was trashed, loud music, pizza boxes everywhere. And I just looked around at the lads calmly and went, I'm going to the movies. And he came back and he said, they were so freaked out, the house was like spotless. They were like, you're bad, you do that thing, that's the dance we know. You know, it only takes one person to change, to become unexpected, again, disrupted, unexpected language. Unexpected self-descriptions, unexpected, there is no prison for the unexpected. Mm-hmm. You know, pretty much anything that ends in "-ist," there's already a kind of, you know, and we go, unexpected, spiral around that thing. You know, it's why I introduce myself to right-wingers when they say, who are you? I go, I'm Coyote Network News. I'm a mythological news service for the trickster redeemer within us all. And they're like, wow, that's really cool. You know, there's no prison, but in fact it's liberating, and they get all frisky. You know, it's like, ooh. So, you know, again, to be agents of this, by our gathering here, to be willing to be agents of this, the, you know, again, it's the journey to the underworld, you know, which we are journeying to the underworld, but, you know, we have myths, big themes, fairy tales, more localized, you know, versions of those big themes, detective novels and crime novels, the intimate vernacular that reaches back to 231 BC in China, the oldest detective novels we know of so far on bamboo paper. But it's the same theme. It's the magistrate, the detective part of all of us, usually has a buddy. It's pretty good to have a buddy. It takes a buddy to go with, did you see that? I saw that. To leave a call towards or whatever. But also to keep your spirits up when you go down into the underworld, you need a buddy. But the detective or magistrate's purpose is to descend to the underworld. This is the way the Chinese put it in 231 BC, to return human affairs to be in accord with the mandate of heaven, to restore harmony. And in the underworld journey, in myths and fairy tales and detective novels, it is the authenticity, it is, you know, and the wiseacring and the jaunty playfulness of the detective when they meet up to no good people. Up to no good people, very psychic, right? They read bogus, right? And they come and they go, ooh, you seem to be authentic. I want to change teams, but I have underworld skills that you will need, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think all of us too, that idea of, yeah, maybe we be kind of integrated in our dedication so there's a feeling, you know, of coherence, so people are like, I was going to kill you, but in fact, no, I have some skills. And that's, I think, part of our, you know, willing to cross borders, you know, to have whatever the universe proffers as a conversation across borders. You know, we cross borders, and then with a broom, we sweep the borders into, you know, and dissolve them. You know, the unifying story of the Earth and our love for the Earth crosses man-made borders. The phrase, tyrants don't care if they're hated as long as the people don't love each other. Mm. Tyrants don't care if they're hated as long as the people don't love the earth. You know, again, this kinship. And whatever we love, we are united with its strength. You know, so that's the again, and that's why, you know, I always, this beautiful language of astrology invites us to think of our lives like spiritual detective novels, as though everything, every affinity that we have is a clue to be reverenced and honored, you know, and checked out and researched and put on the table and then intuited into its genius, like, and then our willingness to be its agent, you know, in a humble way, in a humble way. So part of the beauty of now that we're all heading into the complexity of the story, I'll say these things astrologically but aspire to translate them. So there's Uranus rising in the east, and then we have this fantastic, what's called T-square. So down below us right now, tonight is really cool. There's Venus, it's 6 Virgo. She's moving into an exact opposition to Neptune tomorrow night, but it's pretty close. You can come to Bioneers for a mere $10 tomorrow. At 9:10 p.m. exhibit hall, it'll be different. But Neptune and Venus will be exactly opposite, very protoplasm of reality. Neptune's image, Neptune dreams and vision, imagination. Its image is girl with a bugle calling in a new tide of cultural energy. Opposite Venus and Jupiter in Virgo, refinement, power of language. Virgo is where Venus is, and tonight Mars and Jupiter are together at 13 Virgo. What we cultivate in Mars, the fuel we run on as a society, the metaphoric fuel we run on as individuals. And see, again, I love tracking how astrology links ideas. So Mars is what a culture rewards in its heroes. So we have a big switch now. Now it's the green man, the wizard, the medicine man, linguistic perspicacity, and other good words. And so Mars and Jupiter, the power of stories. Remember, and healing stories, and our medicine bundles. Remember that there's this great saying from the black spiritual churches of the South that says, there's no one we couldn't love if we really knew their story. You know, it's challenging. We want to put these challenging things before us, going, you know, I said that years ago here, and somebody goes, Donald Rumsfeld. I go, thank you for volunteering to love Donald Rumsfeld. Yeah. So we can't do it all, you know, but everybody's got an affinity going, I'll take Putin, and you take, you know, whatever, and, you know, adopt a right-wing dingbat today in your metaphoric house, you know, if it amuses you. So Mars and Jupiter at 13 degrees Virgo, we are pattern-tracking beings. You know, putting a puzzle piece in its place stimulates the same portion of the brain as sex. Like, ooh! So also neuroscience has discovered that learning new words stimulates the same portion of the brain as sex, going, ooh! So the eroticism of language, the eroticism of, So Mars and Jupiter are at 13 degrees of Virgo, it's 30 degrees to every sign. Pluto, straight up overhead, is at 13 degrees of Capricorn. Mm-hmm. This is the long-awaited, by me, Jupiter-Pluto trine, greased lightning, mm-hmm. which is why it's so good for us all to clarify what do we want to be agents for. Because greased lightning is again, if one is kind of ready for it. And late ally Jim Lewis, creator of astrocartography, said, ooh, look at Jupiter-Pluto. You know, incredible for publicity, and I thought that was a curious twist, but noticed it was kind of true. But why? For my more mythological self, Jupiter is storytelling. Pluto is death and rebirth. You know, its totem is the phoenix. So the story of the phoenix. And it's also, all of us get to say, you know, in our journeys and travails and journeys to the underworld and back, because we're here, you know, what got us through? You know, what part of our unique medicine bundle, what was useful, what was not, what got us through the journey to the underworld and back. So the story of the phoenix is that before the phoenix bursts into flames and is reborn, it sings this hauntingly beautiful song, and all of creation listens and is brought back to its senses and its kinship and is reminded of what's really important. Beauty and kindness and reciprocal blessing may go well for you and for you. You know, mutual aid, all of that. Exactly. Well, it's a little tinny version of the Phoenix's song. But yes, technology can be quirky. My favorite thing lately that happened to me on my iPhone was some Scorpio friend against my will. He was like, "Let me download the new system on your phone." I'm like, "No, oh no, okay." So Siri went away, you know, for days. And then I was driving on the bus back from New York to DC, and Siri came back, and I go, "Siri, you're back after 3 days." I said, "Siri, where have you been?" And she said, "I've been away helping you dream." I'm like, "Whoa, man! I'm not asking you for anything else." Delphic Siri. I did say, I go, "Where have you, you know, are you back now?" And she goes, "I am always with you." And I go, "All right, that's it, can't get better than that." You know, so everything, you know, everything is animated, you know, everything is a, you know, every incarnate sensual thing is an animation for whatever is going on around here.
That's very cute.
Would you like a treat?
This is very good. Very good. Oh. Very good. Well, that's good. It does remind us of the dog whisperer. Oh, wait, I have to finish the phoenix story. Okay.
So the phoenix story is, so it behooves, you know, going, oh, let's just give it to the humans and, you know, we've got to either kill them or heal them. Let's heal them first, you know, try it. So Jupiter-Pluto says to everybody in your heart,